Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking in flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Hello, and after a three-week hiatus from my honeymoon and wedding, yes, I am married, and I got to be careful what I say because my wife's right next to me. What an amazing program we got for you, folks. Today on the program, we're going to talk about the three final Fare Thee Well shows of the Grateful Dead, my thoughts on them, and how they changed the generation, including myself. Also, this PC world, freaking kidding me? Mark my words, they're going to re-release Dukes of Hazzard, but they're going to digitally edit out the Confederate flag and anything. They're going to, like, have, like, they're going to, what if they're going to, like, digitally put in, like, they're going to, like, overdub words so that if there's anything offensive that the Duke said, they're going to, like, reword it. Mark my words, I guarantee you they're going to do it. Also, Manchester United just left for the U.S. for their United States tour in Canada and the U.S., that much, much more. So join me as the conversation begins right now. Proverbs 24:14. Know that wisdom is such to your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Thank you, and welcome back to the program. I took about 3 weeks off because, as y'all know, unless you're on Planet Obama or Planet NBC or whatever, I got married, yes, to my beautiful, lovely wife, Melissa Cisco. She means the world to me. We went to Colorado for the honeymoon, and we got to make this into the National Lampoon's honeymoon. I mean, everything went great. I mean, you can't complain about the wedding or anything. I mean, I felt like if you ever see those, like, Comedy Central movies or whatever, like, where the guy's getting ready to have sex for the first time and the girl starts undressing and then he loses it and has to run to the bathroom and the girl slips her shirt back up and goes, oh, that was good for me. That's kind of how I felt at the wedding when I was, like, so ready to do it. And then all of a sudden there were two, like, RVs that collided and it was going to be postponed. I'm like, oh, okay. And I just went, okay, now I got to wait. I was just so ready to do this. And then once it came around again, I was just like so on cloud nine and stuff. And I was so nervous. Because like during part of the wedding, you're supposed to say like, I do and I will. And I said, I do twice. And I got the greatest wife because she said, I do the second time. Just so that I didn't look bad. But, you know, but I mean, once I knew her parents were not involved in the accident because my mother-in-law went to get her hair done at the church and then left. And when she was on her way back, that incident happened. And I'm like, as soon as I knew she was okay, I'm like, okay, this is great. And then I started talking to the pastor and it was just, we had a great, it was just amazing. And then it rained, so, but like they always say, if it rains on the day you get married, you can make it through anything. And it became beautiful, sunny, took a ride a mile away. Then I tried to make these double stuffed balloons with one inside the other with confetti so that we could release them, something special, and they ended up not being filled enough or whatever, so they would float, but they wouldn't float up. So, but it all worked out. It was a great time, and this is where it gets good, the honeymoon, because we're sitting there, and we get up, and we're on the train, and we're on the Blue Water going to Chicago, and then we're going to take the Zephyr, and I'm like, everyone knows not to call me. So I'm like, what's going on? And this is a recorded message from Amtrak. The California Zephyr is no longer running due to bad weather. I'm like, okay, what the heck? And I'm trying to find out what's going on. And they say, well, go to, like, answer that customer service when you get there, and they'll handle it. And they're like, well, so we got put on the Southwest Chief when we go to Raton, New Mexico. And then from there, we were taking a Greyhound up into Colorado Springs. And we're like, what do we do? Because now we have, okay, well, how do I get the rental car moved from one spot to the other and this and that? And I think God did that on purpose, because I got to see a bunch of scouts asked me about, you know, because Southwest Chief is how you get to Philmont, and a bunch of scouts were on there. And, oh, I said, you going to Philmont? Yeah. I said, I was there in 89 and 90, and I said, you got to do Mount Phillips and Balding and all that. I'm like, any advice? I'm like, yeah, be careful, because even unscented stuff can probably still attract a bear. And just cherish the moment, because bang, and it's, you know, 24 years ago, 25 years ago now. And so I'm sitting there, and if you don't know on the train, when you make reservations for dinner, unless you're a group of three or four, you sit with whoever they put you with. And we got sat with a couple, and they just got engaged. We were giving them all kinds of wedding advice, like, be honest with you, do what you want, you know, don't listen to anybody. Just, it's you. I mean, unless your parents are paying for something and they say, since I'm paying for this hall, this is the one we're going to use, then okay. But if you can, I mean, we did so much stuff ourselves. I mean, you have no idea the love we got. I'm actually doing my show on a penny table that my best man made me. And, I mean, that's what I was hoping. If someone out there was at the wedding, hopefully they recorded the toast, because when you read them, I had so many people coming up to me, so what happened to Lisa? You spent 2 weeks helping her out, and I'm like explaining what I did, and I was like, because she would do that in a heartbeat for me. Anyone at that wedding, I would have been there in a heartbeat for, because they would do the same for me. And we get to the, you know, so we get to the hotel finally 24 hours later, and the first room. Oh, my, I've never been in a place, I've never once in a hotel had to say, can I get another room? On the wall, we don't know what it was written of, and I have video of it, and it looked like it was spelled A with a plus sign or a T and an R. Don't know what that means. The lampshades were stained all to get out. It was just crazy. So we get a second room. Then there's, like, spots in the floor where they cut it out, and they just, like, glued, like carpet. And there was, like a dresser on one of them that you couldn't open, couldn't do anything. It looked like those old cabinets that you would lift up the top, and there'd be a record player in there, but nothing would open in it. Then the second room had 13 for the gangster 13 burned into the wood. And we're like, okay, we have nowhere. We can't do anything. But by the way, the Mexican restaurant we ate next door to it was amazing. Great. I mean, I told Saul, I said, well, a guy I work with, I said, you know, they had I got chili rellenos, and they gave me they were huge chilies. Oh, these are small, so we gave you three. I'm like, holy cow, we ate it for lunch the next day, and we just stayed there. And I called the person at the front desk. He's like, well, since you did it through this travel agent, they have to cancel it, and da da da. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I went the next morning, and there were Asians there. I just couldn't, you know, I just kept thinking of Carlos Mencia doing his Asian stuff, and I'm just like, what do I do? And I went up there, and I said, you know, my grandma died, yada yada yada. You know, it's supposed to be my honeymoon. We got to figure out how we're getting to Denver and the airport, and I need to cancel our reservation. So, oh, no problem, we do it. And then about that time, my travel agent, Pam, calls and talked to her. And she's like, oh, I'll make sure that it's taken care of, you know, if they cancel it through the travel thing that I did. I'll just make sure you're getting a refund. I'm like, okay, no big deal. And she's like, when I was talking to her, she's like, man, I didn't know that, or so I would have never even have done that. I said, well, now I know not to use that place if ever, because I send people to Colorado Springs a lot to Garden of God, so I'll make sure not to ever use that. I'm like, so That's that. And then when we got to the DoubleTree Suite, it was incredible. It was just, we had the greatest time. Because, like, in Garden of the Gods, we could do what we... I mean, you could spend the whole time we were there in Garden of the Gods, not even see a tenth of it, probably. And you could always find new nooks and crannies to crawl in, and I got tore up shoes and everything. But going home was fun because on the way home after the honeymoon, oh, by the way, and when we were there, I'm like, how are we going to watch these Grateful Dead shows? And I'm looking it up, and walking distance was a huge theater. If you're familiar with Lafayette, take the East Side 9, the East Side 7, and the East Side Landing, combine them together, and that's about how big this theater was. And it was like a 276 seat theater, and I was expecting to have, you know, at least 50 people, and there was like 20, maybe 10 people in there for the Dead shows. And we saw the first night, and right when the closer was starting, the music never stops. They lost the feed, and the guy came out, and he's like, "Yeah, I run this place. We'll try to hook you up with any of the movies you want to see. We don't know how long this thing's going to be. You want this, and, you know, concessions and all this stuff. Just let them know." And we went, and they're like, any ticket you have, they'll be good for tomorrow or Sundays. And we came back and saw the Saturday show for free. And what happened was we basically missed some of the intermission. Ooh. They really didn't do much during the intermission, so we didn't miss much. But it was cool. And then on the way back on the train, they were fixing tracks, if you don't know. Iowa had tons of flooding. That's why we couldn't get to use the Zeppelin. On the way back, there was a section of track that they had to go really, really, really slow. So we end up being late in getting our connection in Chicago, so we had to stay over. And then we get on, and we stay over in a Swiss hotel, and I love this bottle of water, $8 each. Okay, $160 if you wanted, like, absolute vodka brought to your room and stuff. And they had a 42nd floor pool and hot tub. I'm like, wow. And I looked it up on, like, hotels.com, and it was, like, $290 for a night for, like, the cheap. Right, and I'm like, well, I can never afford this. And we went to the Palm Restaurant, which is anti-me because I think it's like a steakhouse, where there's like, okay, unless you get like the mashed potato sides, there's no veggie options. But I wasn't that hungry, and I got the it was like a balsamic roasted wild mushroom blend and mashed potatoes, and that was enough for me. And we got like a vichyssoise, which is cold bacon potato soup, and it was hot, and Melissa had that, and got up and got to the Greyhound station, and that was interesting because they were told that, oh, you're supposed to go back to the Union station, and then from there they'll take you to Greyhound and all this stuff. And it turned out that the vouchers just had us going right to the Greyhound station, and those, they must not make much, because none of those taxi drivers want to use those vouchers. That company, the Royal Carriage Cab, I think it was. Like, there was one guy that was refusing to use those vouchers, and the Amtrak guy at night told him to get the bleepity bleep bleep and get his bleep and bleep 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 out of there. So that's kind of our honeymoon in a nutshell. And then for some reason, when we got back to Lafayette, everyone thought that we were going to Battle Creek, Michigan, and then bring Melissa's car back down here, which we never said. But we made it back. And it's, now we're back into reality. Cheers. We're back into the wonderful PC world. And I'm not talking computers. I'm talking, I mean, politically correct, folks, because I'm probably offending people by the name of my show because it doesn't have your name in it. But folks, it's my show, not your show, so don't get offended. I'm going to start a new portion of the program called Really, it's something that my girl started saying, and what we're going to talk about in this portion of the program, this one thing, there was a guy who's in Connecticut called 911 when he was at a flea market because they had neo-Nazi and Confederate memorabilia. He was like a historian type person, had all kinds of like historical stuff and had some Confederate flag stuff, and he could not believe when the person on the other end, 911, basically said, "Sir, it's not a crime to offend you. You can't just sit there and say, well, okay, well, that American flag offends me. I'm going to call 911 and have the police come and have it removed." You know, you can say, "Hey, sir, that's kind of insensitive, you know, and I'd be more than happy to talk to you about the history of it." I mean, Waters World, everyone needs to watch O'Reilly Factor for Waters World alone. When he goes out to the beach and asks these people, who did we fight to gain our independence from? Who did America gain their independence from? China? Oh, man, it was Russia, you idiot. Man, my friend's stupid, man. He thought it was China. It's Russia. Really? It was King George III in England. What are they teaching you in history that you don't even know that we won our independence from England? And there were many of our founding fathers who still supported England. They just didn't want to pay the king's tax. They were still loyal to England. There are a lot of founding fathers that have, quotes or sayings or remarks that all these liberals say, well, a conservative would be offended if they knew what some of our founding fathers said. Well, actually, we wouldn't be offended because you should know that because it's part of your history, like I say over and over. How can you, if I'm going to start a business, I'm not going to look at what Shoney's did and say, you know, when their dinners went down the tube and all they were really known for was their breakfast brunch. You know, they're like their breakfast, lunch, brunch. And when that started to fade, they went under. I don't even think they existed. They may exist, but as far as I know, they went in the tubes. And, you know, when you have a place like Del Taco, you know what they're doing and how they're expanding and they're going, what are they doing? You know, find out what they're doing. Find out what they're doing right. Look at their history. That's what people don't want to look at. People won't, you know, the Bible's 2,000 years old, but let me tell you something. It has resonance today. It's not I can't thank God enough for everything he's done in my life. And I'm just so tired of all this. Well, excuse me, sir. I guess I look at it like this. Religious freedom has to have some sort of line drawn in respect to this, because then you can say, well, I need to have cocaine, because if you don't let me use cocaine, then you're infringing upon my religious freedom. That's one thing, you know. But this notion that, well, see, you're not being tolerant to these people because because you won't make them a cake because they're a gay couple. Well, where are you being tolerant of my views? You can say, hey, I wish you would make them a cake. How is making this gay couple a cake going to you don't have to agree with their decision, and making that cake hopefully doesn't change your view of their decision. You know, I can make a gay couple a cake. I'm not going to have a problem with it. It's money in my pocket if they want a cake. It's not going to change a viewpoint that I've always had that, like I say, okay, like I told this one person this like a day ago, I said, isn't a woman with a woman, why aren't two guys called lesbians? He's like, well, a lesbian is two women. I'm like, yeah. That's a term that refers to two women, not to two men. Marriage is a term that refers to a man and a woman getting together. Why can't we have a term that says this is what two women have and what two men have. So if you want to get the same rights as me, same benefits that I have as a married couple, but just call it something different for a man and something different for a woman. So that when you hear this term, and I've said it before, I'm not going to say it again, you know. But the most tolerant, the most intolerant people are the ones that preach tolerance. And I'll say that until I turn blue in the face. But it's true. It's like, I saw this a long time ago, but it was put on YouTube recently where the blue-collar comedy show, they did a spoof on the PC Dukes of Hazzard where they have a rainbow flag instead of a Confederate flag, and they have, like, Uncle Jesse's a Jew, and people are black, and this world's getting to that point where everything is okay. Like that police officer said on 911, sir, it's not illegal to offend you. Everyone's getting their panties in a wad, and then they're like, hey, how much offended? The Constitution doesn't say that you're not going to get offended. You know, actually, if you look into it, I forget, it was several years ago, it's been many years now, a Republican tried to get the Confederate flag taken down in South Carolina and was blocked by Democrats. Now that Republicans want it up and Democrats want it down, now they're like, oh, these evil Republicans and da-da-da. It's like, really? Why all of a sudden now do you, this is what I really think it is. They can't say anything positive about what Obama's done, so they have to bring up, like, the fact that, how dare you call them, I have someone right next to me that has Indian in her. And do you see her trying to get the Redskins from changing their name? Nope. But I don't think they can say they have anything to run on with the record for Obama. They can't say, well, this is what Obama's accomplished. So they got to go after the Confederate flag. They have to, for 3/4 of his presidency, gas was $4 a gallon. Why didn't they talk about that? Because it doesn't fit the liberal agenda. Over the 4th of July weekend, folks, 9 people were killed in Chicago. One was a young kid. Where is the media outrage? They were black lives. I thought they mattered. Oh, I guess they only matter if a white person is the one that's behind the killing. If a black person kills a black person, black lives don't matter. If it fits the liberal agenda, it matters. If it doesn't fit within the MSNBC box, it doesn't matter, and Obama won't talk about it. Why hasn't Obama talked about or said anything about that girl in San Francisco that was killed by that illegal that had been deported 5 or 6 times and then went to the safe haven of San Francisco, baby? Why isn't Obama talking about that? Because it doesn't fit the liberal agenda. Because it would make Donald Trump, I love Donald Trump, and I support that man so much because he's like, well, first of all, this is a tool that a doctor uses to look into your ears, and I'm going to use that to make sure I get all the cotton swabs out of your ears so you can hear what I'm saying. He hasn't been like most people. Well, you know what? Let me. What I really meant to say, he's like, he's doubled down what he said. He hasn't. Okay, do you not understand? People are coming across this border. Not everyone is dangerous. But if you're not dangerous, then why aren't you going through the legal channels to become legal? Why are you sneaking across the border? There are terrorists coming across the border from ISIS. But who cares? I mean, you know, all Donald Trump talked about was Mexicans, and every Mexican has to be bad because he said that some that come across the border are bad. Just because he said some of the people that come across that border are bad doesn't mean every single one of them is bad. But we have to do something to protect the border. But and he is getting standing room only at events because he's finally someone that's not backing down. He's like, this is what I said. I will say it again and again and again. I'm not going to change my position. I'm not going to be a politician. Well, he's not. He's successful because he's worked his ass off. He's not successful because he just sat on his butt and, you know, lived off the government. So, hey. Okay, yeah. But, like, they said this on the Kelly File, and I've kind of talked about this today and before. The White House picks and chooses what they want to talk about. You know, Obama, it's amazing how much Obama's done that if he was a Republican, you wouldn't hear the end of it. You wouldn't, I mean, the market's artificially inflated. Our GDP is like 90%. Well, guess what? We just eliminated $1 trillion from the deficit. Yeah, but then you spent $1.5 trillion. How does that help? Do the math, folks. Do the math. You just added, you know. I mean, the government is like car dealers, you know, where they'll, we're going to give you $2,000 for your trade-in, but then they'll increase the car by $3,000, so you're paying $1,000 more. Oh, what you want to get is, this is a clear coat protector shine, and what this does is keep your car looking brand new for up to 4 years. And that's $20 a month. So, like, if you, so they have that on, you know, they try to give you with all this bull crap that you don't need. And that's the, you know, spending, in my opinion, is spending. It doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat, you're spending. You can't have this, I don't understand this, like, well, because I have a girl I work with, she's like, what's all this Fox News crap? I'm like, you know, hey. I've said it before and I'll say it again, you know. They have the highest believability of any network and they're 29%. So what does that say about media in general? If the highest believable news network only has 29% believability. You know, it's scary. I mean, because like Greece, they had a deal on the table that the president turned down and the people turned down. And what happens? The president okays a deal that's worse than what they have, than they had. That's what happens in a parliament. The Greece people, they have no say, really. Not that, I mean, we have more say in this country than others, but we're losing our say with executive order being abused. But Greece isn't getting, they're getting debt relief, but they're not getting the debt lowered. There's so much that it's what's going to happen to us in a few years if people don't watch it, if they don't start curving. And but like I said, I think it was about 2 months ago now, the stimulus bills were like Project Blue Book. All they have to do is make up some excuse for where the money's going and it's justified, even though that object that came down from the sky, okay, if the military said it was a meteor, okay, why didn't you show us pictures of the meteor? Why isn't it on display? Even though we saw the object go up and the meteor would come down, you said it was a meteor. Where's the photos of the meteor? You know, as long as you could, hey, we spent $20 million to put 3 windows in this building. It may make no sense, but they can justify it, and they're, yep. We put 3 windows in this building, $20 million, yep. Even, they may not have actually put windows in the building. They may not have done anything, but they can at least have some BS to explain where that money went. You know? I mean, Obamacare is not doing anything. It's not like people are praising it. I don't know anyone that's like, oh, thank God I got Obamacare. They really don't have any leg to stand on. And where is this caller 20 years ago saying, you know, hey, he's got Confederate stuff. You know, a year ago, no one could have cared. now all of a sudden people got their panties in a wad, so now they got to take all this stuff off the TV. Mark my words, you're going to have the Confederate flag digitally removed from, it's going to be a PC edition of the Dukes of Hazzard. Mark my words, I'm not usually wrong on that stuff. Sad to say it, but that's where this world, I don't know. It's just, you know, I guess I grew up in a different generation, you know. As I move on in from the generation I grew up into, you know, the final three Grateful Dead shows that they did in Chicago, there was young, old, white. They bridged the gap of gender, race, class, creed. It didn't matter. And if you go back into the days, you know, they didn't charter flights. They went on commercial flights with everyone else. They didn't look at themselves any better than anyone else. You know, they had a special tape section so that the heads could get better quality sound. And, you know, I think I grew up in a, I think I'm one of the people I am because we grew up in a generation where your dad would hit you in the head with a shoe and tell you to change the channel, and you had like three or four channels to choose from, and you had to, okay, I learned to appreciate music because, hey, if Lawrence Welk was on, that might have been the only thing, okay, it's the best or the worst. I don't like anything that's on TV, but you had to watch it because it was the best thing on the TV. Okay, I'm not going to watch, I don't want to watch this, I don't like that. Out of all the crappy stuff on TV, it was the best thing to watch, and, you know, and you learned, I mean, now everything is so, like, on demand, like, okay, like, you can watch almost anything you want, whenever you want, you don't have to wait like I did, you know. Everything's so pigeonholed and cubbyholed, you know, like I'm a punk rock fan or a neo-punk fan or a country rock fan, you know, and Dead fans included, you know, that listen to that and that exclusively. When I grew up, you know, I grew up in what's called the eclectic era of modern music, when you listen to anything. I'll go check out almost anyone that comes to Purdue, because if they come to Purdue, they're probably pretty damn good. And there's a reason why they're there. You know? Like Bob Weir said, you know, most people came out to the Winterland in San Francisco not just to see their favorite band, because if they're playing at Winterland, there's a reason why they're there. You know? And I grew up in an era when, you know, you just, I feel more tension now than I did 20 years ago. 25 years ago, I feel more like not that I care, I'm not PC at all, you know, go Redskins, but I feel like now, I feel like, okay, well, like 20 years ago, I could have a Confederate flag, no one would have cared. Now it's like, are you insensitive? Are you heartless? I'm like, no, I support history. See, I have family that played Dead on D-Day for 3 days when they went into France and into Normandy to try to take Hitler. And I would have no problem hanging a Nazi flag, not because I support it, because it's about history. You can't erase what Hitler did. You can't erase what the Confederacy did. I think liberals try to, or like taking down the flag is really going to change our history. That's the problem. They want to erase our history. They want to change what kids know about our history so that they don't know all this crap, so that they can, well, actually, our forefathers wanted socialism and they wanted us to be like North Korea. And if they can't read cursive writing, how can they read what the original Constitution? They can just type it on the internet and put whatever they want in it. Just watch Waterworld when he asks those people simple, basic questions. So who did we fight in the Vietnam War? Vietnam, let me see here. South Dakota? Okay, who did we fight in the Korean War or Vietnam War? Were there two worlds that we fought? One in World War One and one in World War Two? Was one maybe the moon? I mean that's not even that far off from what these people. I mean, if you don't honestly know as a 20-something that we gained our independence from England, there's something wrong somewhere in the equation. That's not a left. That's not a right. They're not. They're just asking questions. They're not trying to get their. They don't have an agenda. He's not going out there. Well, let me see how many people I can get, and then most of them by the time they. Oh man, please don't air that. Please, can you don't. But hey. But that's the era I grew up in, and it's hard to believe it's been 40 years of my life that I was around for the Dead was. The three shows they did were incredible. I finished listening to the third show last night because we were on the train, so we didn't get to see the third night. And I finished listening to the second set last night, and it's emotional because they really mean the world to me because they were about more than just, they didn't do cookie cutter 90-minute sets. The sets lasted 3 and 4 hours, and they quit off and on each other. And they wanted you to feel a part of the band. They were just like, hey, I'm just like anybody else, Thanks to Cody, I'm alive today because, if it wasn't for him, he saved my life and 8 others. And, most people, when you look at bands, they're like, I am da-da-da. You are, I am 50 Cent, and you are just a dime, or whatever, where the Dead's like, hey, we're just like anyone else, And their music and the words resonated because it was about real world, real life. And it's just hard to believe that everyone was like, oh, why would you pick Trey? Are you kidding me, Trey? My girl doesn't know Trey Anastasio from Mr. Fred Rogers. She didn't know the difference. But she was like, he's just perfect. He's there. He's like, it's like he belongs.
He really respected him.
Yeah, he was like honored that, like, yes, this is, he respected them and what they've done. And so, and it was just, it was just an amazing, amazing three shows. And I thought they might do Bid You Goodnight, but they ended it all with Addicts in My Life. And they only played that 4 times in the 1980s. That was a rare song they played. And that was just incredible. And then Mickey Hart with his infinite wisdom of, take this energy and go back to your home and do something with it. And I hope they did, because, I think Jerry would be like, wow, look at what I, because he was always one of those people, he never wanted to be, it's not his words that he's attached to, but he was always like, this is what we do, we don't know why it happens, we do this and this happens, we don't know why it happens, it just does. And one guy on tour one time said, he goes, it's kind of funny that people kind of look at Jerry Garcia as a god. Well, he kind of is in a way because God's creating, he creates this, I think that if any of the members of the band could die and the band would still go on, but if Jerry died, that'd be it. And it basically was it because they went on in other forms as the other ones, the dead, and Life Without Jerry, and all these different things. And I know when I was at Terrapin Station, Grateful Dead Family Reunion in Alpine Valley in 2003, Bob Weir and Rat Dog were playing, and all of a sudden it was supposed to downpour rain like all day, and all the tapers had umbrellas over their thing, and it rained for like 4 minutes, and then it stopped, and a rainbow appeared right over the stage, and Rat Dog, they're just getting down, you know. Jeff Lemony's going away, and Bob Weir's just playing away, and all of a sudden they have stopped and look up at the, and everyone just stares at the rainbow, and they know it's like Jerry saying, thank you so much, and just, they just kept going, and they just kept playing, and it was just, I mean, it just, the level went tenfold. It was just incredible. And of course, my girl, like whenever we see a show, if I was at one of the shows and watching an old videotape or a bootleg of it, my girl just loves it. And she's, I'm on cloud nine. I'm like, yeah, it was downpouring rain, and we were like right over there somewhere. Oh, it was just incredible. And you couldn't buy bread for like 30 miles of the venue. And I mean, screw scalping tickets. You could have scalped food, you know. Loaf of bread, $10. Screw that, there with 50 cents. Well, good luck. Try to find one. You won't find a loaf of bread for 2 miles. Wrong. Not 2 miles. 30, 40, 50 miles probably. But, I mean, but for the longest time, I think if Jerry still didn't die, it would have gotten to the point where you'd have crap loads of people exploiting the tour that had no tickets and just there. You know, if it was getting to that point where there's a crap load of people just following the band with no tickets, and they're just like, let me sell shirts or burritos or whatever, you know. I mean, for the large part, you know, I might sell some water or beer or something, you know, but then I'll go buy a bracelet or a shirt off of someone. I'll kick someone back in the scene. And we all did that, you know. There was just like near the end, like in, you know, where people come with a, what was that, like a marked U-Haul with like four tanks, huge tanks of nitrous oxide, and 14 NO2 balloons would pay for that $70 tank of nitrous, and then the rest was profit. And they would take all that money and run down to their Hyatt Regency and on their steak dinner, and none of it would come back to the scene. But we'd always kick back to the scene and give back to the scene, and, you know, and it was mainly just trying to get into the show. You know, I didn't really want to be, I didn't go to the final shows in 95 in Chicago. I didn't have a ticket for either show, so I didn't go. And I met a dude later, he goes, man, I had tickets to the shows, I just didn't have a way up. And I'm like, I had a way up, there's just no tickets. You know, so, but that was way later, like in 2003. But, you know, I mean, if I didn't have tickets, I usually didn't go to the shows, and that's, but those shows, they ended right, you know. What does Mickey Hart, Bill Kreisman, Phil Ash, and Bob Weir owe us? Nothing. They did what they did, and they were addicts of my life. It kept everything I had from losing it, because that was just emotional. I mean, they did the right thing, and I'm glad. I mean, Trey Anastasio was perfect. It just worked out. There, to know that there's good in this world. I mean, Bill Murray even helped out the cleaning crews afterwards. Talk about cool. You know, but that's all coming together and just, you know, putting all your differences aside. And so, oh, yeah, he's from Bill Murray. Oh, my wife is like, yeah, they're probably just wondering if someone dropped their weed. Oh, yeah, Bill Murray's great. Oh, wow. It was just the best way to end it. In a way, I kind of wish we would have tried to just hang out in the city, but then I don't know, I'm not a big Chicago fan. I mean, it's okay, but it's just I'm not a big city type person. I like the little, like, communities where you can just kind of be yourself and, you know. But yesterday, Manchester United had left for the U.S. They got some new signings. Astine, Morgan, and Medio. What are my thoughts and opinions as a team? This is preseason kind of tourney. Because me and my girl got tickets to see them take on Paris Saint-Germain. Yes, sir. We'll be there in section 312 of Soldiers Field up top by the pitch. Great, great seats. I think it's going to be, we got to get some speed on the team. And you got to get players that can play together. You know, so, and that's one thing, you know, speed is going to be very, very crucial. We need that, and I think Bastien is going to give that to us. I think we need to get, I'm glad we have this little tournament. Hopefully, I don't know if they're even set to play in this tournament, and if they are, I hope so, because they need to get some experience. They need to, okay, here's who we have, because if they can't play as a team, I don't care who you have, you're screwed. And, you know, and you can trade who you want and do what you want, but if they can't learn to play together, I think it's going to be a long road to hoe, and I just see us only getting better, not worse. I mean, Louis Van Gaal knows what he's doing. So, and I just think it's cool that we have him as a manager. He's just, he wants to do it for the fans. And he wants to bring the excitement for the fans and bring the trophy for the fans. And I hope to go, I'm going to go to Old Trafford. And I may have to look into that and try to get tickets some time ago. Take my wife, and because like my best man said, he goes, you know, nothing against my brothers, but you know, me and Kyle just clicked like so, because like our humor's the same, our beliefs are the same. You know, we both love guns, we both love God. You know, I can talk to him about Jesus, and he'll understand what I'm talking about. He'll understand what, you know. Because I remember one time I was having the worst days ever. He goes, were you beaten to death and crucified on the cross for having a perfect life? If not, then you're having a pretty good day. And I just laughed because he's so true, you know. And except for he's not really into the football thing. But it's cool. But, like, I hope to take my girl and go to Old Trafford and see the museum and stuff. And but I'm really optimistic about this tour. It'll give them some opportunities to warm up preseason so that they're not going out to a game cold turkey. And I think that's going to really help some of these new players. Hopefully they're eligible to play. They might not be because they're so new signings. But, you know, hopefully they've had time to gel. Like I say, you need to just get, like, one, like, town home kind of thing, and they all live in it. You know, you give them, like a memory foam, little, like, twin mattresses, and they all lie on the floor, and they learn to, okay, there's two bathrooms for, like, 30 of you. Good luck. Because that way they learn to okay, you need to work together as one cohesive unit. You need to be able to pass that ball where the person doesn't even have to look. He just knows, because if you have to give any type of signal to the, okay, hey, he's saying he's open, where if he can pass the ball and the guy's over there and no one's the wiser, how in the heck, what the ball was here, well, how'd it get, you know? some of the best basketball teams, they can pass and they can do layups without even talking to each other. They just know, okay, when you're here and I'm here, I'm going to pass the ball here, you'll be there, and bang. And that's what you have to have. We need to have speed. It's going to be the biggest key to Manchester United's success. And hopefully we've got some of that. And I think that's going to really, really help this team out this year. And, wow. I'm just super, super, super excited. I didn't see, last night was the Home Run Derby. I didn't get to watch it because I don't have cable. But we're looking at getting something down the road, you know. We need to get a couch and tables and stuff in here. But, hey, we got God and He'll provide. And that is what is, I think, as I go back, what's missing in this country. There is no repercussion, you know. Everyone just, you know, I was talking about this to the guy at work, and I'm like, we were talking to Mike Young, because it was the old Friday movie with the guy, oh, my neck, and my back, oh, I won $150,000. Man, get up the floor and even wet. You know, now it'd be like, man, I'm suing you for faking you fell. You know, it's like there's a song, look it up from Weird Al Yankovic, I'll sue you. I sue Taco Bell because I ate a 500,000 burritos and I get fat. I sue the computer because they never told me I couldn't take my laptop in the bathtub. I sued Duracell because they never told me I couldn't shove double A's right up my nose. But what do they say in peanut butter jars? Morning contains peanuts. There's a reason why. Because somebody ate peanut butter, not realizing it contained peanuts, and had an allergy and probably died. But see, we got to sue because that's just like, you didn't warn my son that your peanut butter contains peanuts. So where we went $150 trillion. Really? You know, if you want to get married and you're two guys and your two girls, why should it involve the government? Why should it involve me? Why do, you know, we got so many more, I don't know, I guess my rant, one of my biggest rants today, and if you didn't get it, is, and I've said this before, we have bigger issues than wondering if someone's going to be offended because you call them the Washington Redskins. Oh, crap, I said the W word. Oops. I apologize, folks. I told you before I was going to use that W word, but yeah, my wife's offended by that W word. But anywho, you know, like gay marriage is really that big of an issue that we have a GDP that's like almost north of 100. You know, we're heading to where Greece is, and we're concerned about a Confederate flag, gay marriage, calling the team the Redskins, you know, all this stuff's offensive. You know, the UN flag is offensive. Take it down. I don't know. It goes back to my point that the media and the president picks and chooses what he wants to make an issue. Because they made an issue of George Bush, and how dare he? He has not admitted it, but he's all but admitted the fact that he's used cocaine and all these other drugs. Barack Obama, with the media, oh yeah, I was so effed up when I was in college. I was so drunk. I did coke. I did it all. Who cares? They like, oh, but I don't do it now. See, it's okay for a liberal to change their mind, but if a Republican does it, oh. You know, Obama does so many things and try to get votes, it's not funny. So does Hillary Clinton. She essentially changes her mind. You know, just because that's like the big topic now. Hillary Clinton would probably support the Confederate flag if it meant getting votes. I've not seen one person that has said, you know what, hey, I'm against Donald Trump's the only person I've seen so far that's like, this is what I've said, and I'll say it 150 times until you get what I'm saying. Everyone else is like, well, You know, I used to be against gamers, but since it's a big topic, I'm going to support it just so I can get votes. You know, Donald Trump's like, I'm going to get people that are going to like me for who I am because I'm going to stand. I may not agree with Donald Trump on everything, but if he's going to say, hey, this is what I stand for, I know that, hey, if I vote for him, this is what he's going to, I know that if he says it, he's going to do it. I'm not going to wonder, well, yeah, she said that she supports this now, but will she, you know? He's at least being the first person that, like, when they've said something controversial, they haven't, like, toned down what they meant. They've, like, okay, let me say this again. San Francisco, a guy was deported, like, 6 times, and a lady was killed because of it. But I'm wrong with my view about the border. You know, I'm going to harp on it, but, hey, you know your facts. You know, I wouldn't even employ Hillary Clinton as a dog catcher. Somebody put that on Facebook. I'm like, yes, sir. Because I'm like, how can I flag this? Because I wish I could. I'm like, that thing, I can flag it and be like, hey, how you doing? But it looks like, you know, and we're seeing some good progress because they're actually starting to link, huge studies are starting to link aspartame to major problems. And it's just some of these things are actually starting to come around. I mean, heck, even in Spain, they've ended freedom of speech. Now you can't, like, joke about people that are in charge in Spain. You can get in big trouble. But, hey, what do we know? I mean, we're just, you know, we're just gun-toting conservatives that don't care about anybody. You know, we're the most intolerant people. Just because we don't conform to your views. But hey, I am who I am. My wife tells me you're just someone that don't back down, and I don't. I believe what I believe, and you know, I really haven't changed my beliefs a lot. That's what gets me when all these people all of a sudden like, well, 2 years ago she was not for this, and all of a sudden she is. Well, it wasn't really a big issue back then. You know, now all of a sudden it is, so this politician supports it 1,000,000%. You know, it's just, I don't know. I just try to be there and just, I try to call it like I see it, you know. This is my view, my opinion. I'm not perfect. No one is. No one is perfect. But at least Ben Carson and Donald Trump are calling it like, hey, we need to go. Got about 90 seconds, but hey, I'm going to call it war. ISIS, we need to have a national, global effort. ISIS is not a country. It's an ideology. There's people that support ISIS all over the world. It's almost going to be impossible to eradicate because, okay, there's a cell here, there's a cell there, there's a cell there. They're everywhere. But at least he's going to call it what it is. Hey, I don't want to, but we have to go to war. I don't, you know, hey, say what you want, but we need to tighten our borders. We need to make them more secure, not less secure. Now, Obama got Secret Service protection when he was running for president. If Donald Trump was having death threats or whatever, would they give him Secret Service? I don't think they would. He is. But, hey, what do you know? You know, if he was a liberal, they'd probably have like 80 million people kissing his ass. I guarantee you Democrats would kiss his butt if he was a Democrat, but hey, he's not, so whatever. 10 seconds left in the program, folks. Thank you all for listening in, tuning in, and until next week, God bless you. Have a great day. Take care.